B-Pod Studios.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated, archaic.
Oh, it is.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's the goal for the second half? Are you guys going to make some moves, make some trades? I know trying to catch the Yankees and win a division is whatever, but you got an extra playoff team this year. Is the goal to get to the playoffs and then roll the dice?
I think that that is the goal. Obviously, we saw what happened last year. I mean, we played the wild card game. No one expected us to win, and we beat the Yankees, you know. So anything can happen in a wild card game is, I mean, and it's just, I feel like we should get some help. You know, we saw what happened last year. I know we got Schwarber. I was saying back there, that's someone that carried the team for multiple stretches last year, you know, and I don't know if we could get some of that impact, but it would be nice to get some help for sure.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, Tuesday, July 19th. From our Town Fair Tire Studios, and for the final time in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We'll be saying goodbye to this building here at the Beasley Media Group. The Town Fair Tire Studios will travel with us on a temporary basis starting tomorrow to, frankly, NBC Sports Boston, actually, is where we'll be for a couple of weeks before we land in our permanent residence in Waltham. But anyway, it's a farewell show here from Dorchester.
Yeah, we're moving out of Dot.
Naz and Murray alongside. How you guys doing?
Good.
You?
I thought we'd start with some more baseball stuff, some more Red Sox news coming out of All-Star Weekend, and that was one of them. Xander Bogaerts saying, basically, we need help. He'd like some help. What do you make of those comments, Maz?
Good. He's right. I wish some of these guys would be more vocal and put some of the heat on the front office and ownership. I wish they did it. So there's two ways to look at it. One, Xander Bogaerts isn't looking to get out at the deadline. He wants to add. He wants to go for it. So he's not jumping ship. And I come back to the same thing always. You ask the players to go out there and compete with the idea of winning. Do you want to win? Do you want to win? And I'm talking ownership and management now. You tell the players to go out there and try to win, but do you? You can send a message by how you act and what you do and what type of investment you make in the product. So this team hasn't had it. I'll pick the two easy ones. This team hasn't had a first baseman in a bullpen for 2 years. 2 years. So how do you expect a guy like Xander Bogaerts to look at you with a straight face and say, yeah, you're not trying as hard as I am, or you are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How could he possibly look at you with a straight face and think you're giving the same investment he is?
Well, him saying that, don't you think it's significant? I mean, on the face of it, it feels like a pretty mild statement. Yeah, we could use some help. But it's really not, because usually what those guys do when they're asked that question is to deflect it, because when
not my job.
Well, yeah, but when you say we need help, you're kind of throwing the players on your current team under the bus.
Correct.
We need some replacements. So typically a player won't go there. Typically a player will say, not my job. I believe in the guys in this room, and I believe we can win it all with the guys in this room. I believe in my teammates, and it's not my job. So that's generally the response. So when a guy says, we could use help, I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah, I think it's almost a shot at the team and the upper management.
Because, it is, Jim.
Yeah, because he knows they're not really going to do anything, and they're not going to pay him either. And there was a photo, I think it might have been the Globe, like of Bogaerts outside the dugout looking despondent at the end of this Yankee series, too.
Sitting on the ground?
Yeah, and that I thought was very telling. I thought it was very telling the way he spoke about the lack of contract negotiations with Gasper yesterday. And then this comment, I think he's really frustrated, and rightfully so.
Look, say what you want about the guy again. Some people like him, some people don't. Maybe he's not as good as we think, blah, 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 blah. He cares. He shows up, he plays every game, he doesn't like missing time on the field.
Definitely.
Most underrated stat in sports, games played, he's out there all the time. He plays hurt, sometimes at the expense of his own stats, does all that stuff because there's value in the stability of it. And that, to me, is what Xander Bogaerts represents. He represents stability. So here you go. Like to come from a guy like him too, Mike, the source. Like, it's one thing if David Ortiz is rattling his saber, or even Mo Vaughn was an emotional player. Like, over the years, the Red Sox have had those guys.
You learn to expect it with guys like that.
Bogaerts isn't that guy. Bogaerts isn't a guy that kicks up dirt for no reason. He's not a guy that's a bleep stirrer. That's not him. He's like Bergeron or McCourty. I always sort of lump those three guys together. He shows up, does his job, keeps his mouth shut, goes home. That's pretty much what he does all the time. And again, sometimes to a fault, sometimes you need to rattle the saber when you're one of the superstars on the roster. So for him to come out and say, we need help, that's a plea to ownership and management, or, a, you know, I say a plea or a shot to say, look, you built us a team that wasn't good enough because there are certain areas we're deficient in and everybody knows it.
That ties into another story coming out of yesterday, written by Alex Speer, and it's about the Rafi Devers contract negotiations. Speer writes that Devers has made clear his love of the Red Sox organization and his desire to remain with the team that signed him as a 16-year-old out of the Dominican Republic in 2013. The Sox, likewise, have made clear they view Devers as a cornerstone player they'd love to retain for years. Yet his free agency following the 2023 season is coming ever closer, ever more sharply into view. Particularly after conversations between Devers and the team about a long-term deal this spring never came close to an agreement. According to a major league source familiar with the talks, the Red Sox identified Matt Olson's 8-year, $168 million extension with Atlanta as a basis for discussions, citing the likelihood that Devers would spend much of the contract either at first base or at designated hitter. Let me just continue quickly. The canyon-sized gap between the sides, and Jeff Passan of ESPN reported at the time it was in excess of $100 million, made clear that there was little common ground. Maz, your thoughts?
Oh, I 100% believe the story. I think it's entirely credible, especially when we compare it to the Mookie Betts negotiations. In the Mookie Betts negotiations, you know what happened? The Red Sox were always a year behind. They went to Betts with $100 million when the number was $200. Then they went to him with $200 when the number was $300. Then by the time they got to $300, he was gone. And the number was $350, which is what he signed for in L.A. So I feel like they're behind. They've been behind from the beginning with Devers.
Is that because they're stupid? They don't know the market? They don't realize what a player's worth? Or something else?
Something else.
And what is something else?
That ultimately they don't want to pay him and that he's going to have to choose to either take less to stay or go out the door.
They don't want to pay these guys.
Correct.
Is there some nerd defensive stat that they look at and say, well, he's deficient in this specific area. This is why we're... Given his age, this market, his power, that's like $100 million low, right?
Not even what Passan said. It's more than $100 million low.
It's about $130 low.
Yeah, so again, now look, like the way the contracts are working in baseball, not to get too bogged down in this, but Soto just got $440 million offer over 15 years. That averages out?
29.
$29 million. So you get one or the other. You're either going to get real length at a lower number, or you're going to get a bigger number at a shorter length, right? So but in the case of Devers, I think you're looking at something like 10 years and $300 million.
He's a $300 million ball player.
He is. He's a $300 million player. That's right.
He's a $300 million ball player.
And that's in line with what some of the guys at third base are getting. Now, Arenado, Rendon, these guys signed big contracts over $30, $35 million a year in that range. They're also very good defensive players. Rendon got to be pretty good. Arenado's one of the great third basemen of all time. So they have an edge on Devers in that area.
They don't have his offense. Well, Arenado might have in Colorado.
Right, and Devers is left-handed. He's young. So there's a lot of value there. And I would say, given his bat, if you have to move him to first base, so what?
Okay, so I had it before. Isn't Arenado just a touch below 300 on the total value of the deal, but he's a high AAV?
Sounds right.
Well,
yeah, that sounds right.
So, I mean, either way, whether Rafi Devers is a $300 million ball player or he's a $35, $40 million AAV guy, right?
Like you're in the same area.
That's where he's going to be.
Right.
To come in at 8 and 168, that's telling the guy we're not serious. And they're really better off not doing anything.
I agree.
And I will tie it into Henry last week where he said, well, yeah, people don't really understand how much we're paying the analysts and the arms race for front office personnel and sports science and what they're paying the trainer. Like, oh, my God, if you're a player on that team and you're being lowballed to that degree and you read John Henry complain about what he's spending on the front office guys.
On high-priced nerds.
Oh, my God, how do you feel if you're a player? But either way, these are no accidents. They did the same thing to Betts you just said. A couple years ago, they did the same thing to Bogaerts this past year. Didn't they offer him a one-year, $30 million extension or something
yes.
like that?
Yes.
Which is a freaking slap in the face.
Correct.
And so they keep doing it. They don't keep doing it because they're stupid or they don't know the market.
No, it's by design.
They just want to be able to say, We've offered something. We start negotiations, but they don't really want the player. They don't want the player at a market contract. They're not in the business of doing it. They don't want to do it. And how do we feel about that? I mean, that's an easy answer there. We hate it. Now, my only caveat is I'm okay if they replace. If they replace the guys and win at a high level, then like you were okay, the Patriots, I've made this point now for months, like you've been okay with the Patriots doing that. Don't pay, replace guys at a lower cost, but keep winning at a high level. All right, you know, you have to accept it. And if the Red Sox prove they can continue to win at a high level by not retaining these guys, then you have to accept it with the Red Sox like you would accept it with the Patriots. Simple enough. The Sox haven't proven that yet. They haven't proven that yet. But make no mistake, they don't want to pay these guys. They don't want to pay these guys. And if left to their own devices, they won't. They won't. The only chance is that they succumb to public pressure or the business suffers. Attendance continues to fall. Ratings continue to drop. Revenue drops. They lose market share, more market share, because fans have fallen out of favor with the team. And if it impacts the bottom line, maybe that changes. And maybe ultimately will force them back to Devers at the end. But it's obvious. They don't want these players. And so it's just a slow march out the door for Bogarts first, Devers next. I still don't think you should sell him. I still don't think you trade him. I think you play it out if you're the Red Sox. But that's just the bottom line. They don't want these guys at market contracts. So that's where we're starting. You can join us next on the phones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
This is Rafi Devers. Rafi, first off, talk about your contract extension and would you like to get it done?
No, I don't think about my contract. I want to play. I play every day. If they come to me, I listen. If it's good, I take. If it's not, I go free agent. I don't know.
Rafi Devers in spring training. As succinct as it could be. I'll listen. Good, I'll take it. If not, I'll be a free agent. Not very complicated on his end. And when they come in at 8-168?
21 per.
Really not much to think about there.
Think about that. They offered him on an average basis less than Trevor Story.
I mean, Soto there turns down 440. Turns it down. Now it's under $30 million AAV.
But it's $440 million.
$440 million! And the Red Sox come into Rafi Devers at 168. That is woof. Even by their standards, that is wow.
It's like a third of that.
I mean, for Pete's sake.
I mean, really, it's grotesquely low.
So he's gone. I still don't sell him this year. Maybe I sell him in the offseason if I get a really good, a legit return, not Jeter Downs, like a legit return. I might do it. I'm not doing it now, and I'm prone to just play it out with him. You're getting a lot of value from him. What's he making now?
Oh, gosh, $11 million or something.
And it's arbitration, so maybe next year he's still under 20 or something, right?
He'll be around that, probably. Right?
So yeah. It's like, I mean, you're still getting great, great value out of him. Rent him. Treat him as your rental. But the Red Sox don't want to pay those dollars. They're not going to pay those dollars unless you force them to as fans. To your calls, as promised, Justin's in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So the same thing that happened with Betts is happening with Xander and Devers, and, like, we're going to see Xander leave. Like, it would be a joke if he leaves, but, you know, given Red Sox ownership and their ineptitude, they're going to let him leave at the end of this year and not re-sign him. And then next year, Devers probably going to make another All-Star game, go off again another season, right? His value is only going up. And after he sees what they did to Xander, one of his best friends on the team, another homegrown guy, a young guy, he's going to expect the same thing to happen to them, and they're going to sour the relationship with Devers, and he's going to leave and spit in your face when you're walking out the door. It's an absolute freaking joke.
Feels like it's the pattern's going to repeat itself. I would just dispute Red Sox ownership's ineptitude. I don't think they're inept in this regard.
No, no, they're choosing it.
This is a conscious choice.
Yeah, they're choosing. And the other thing that I would dismiss is this whole allegiance to Bogarts. Let's just say, hypothetically, they keep Devers and they offer him $300 million. He's not going to take it.
Yeah, right. If you give him the bag, he's going to, you know, he'll get over the Bogarts thing and stay.
Yeah, so the Devers one, to me, I still leave a little latitude in there because at some point they could wake up and decide to knock him over with a pile of money. As much as they might not want to, he's young. Unlike a lot of these other guys who are hitting the market, he's going to be 26 in October. So if you're going to pay anybody that kind of contract, he's the kind of guy. But based on their actions over the last few years, they don't want to give anybody these contracts. Anyone.
Brendan in Weymouth. Go ahead, Brendan.
Whatever happened to not getting somebody in trouble for something they haven't done yet? It's just annoying to me how people keep complaining about it as if it's a fact that Devers and Bogarts aren't coming back this year. I mean, I know you just read that report, Mike, and the signs are pointing in that direction, but I mean, there's still a lot of time between now and the end of the season. I mean, how do you know that ownership isn't going to crack to public pressure and up increase their offer at the Devers and Bogarts?
Brendan, I agree with what you just said 1,000%, frankly. I think it is possible they keep these guys, but that's what it's going to take. Their philosophy is not to keep these guys. The offers to start the process are
embarrassing.
I mean, not just embarrassing, they like hurt the process.
Right, they alienate the player.
Right, so I think the signs are bad. They've gotten off to a bad start. There's precedent with Mookie Betts. From the ownership comments to the reported offers, it doesn't look good, and that's what we're reacting to. So that's what you're hearing. Is it possible they sign both of them? Sure, but it would be for the reason he said, that John Henry wakes up one day and sort of on impulse or emotion says, I know it's the wrong thing to do to sign this guy to that money, but my fans want it. I want to, he makes an emotional thing reacting to the response of the fans or business, hard business. If attendance continues to go down, ratings continue to go down, things of this nature, then he might respond to that. But that's what it's going to take, because I think it's clear they're on the same path that they were with Mookie Betts.
Well, so that's why I would say to the caller, you know, don't blame him for something they haven't done yet. They did it with Mookie. So, like, again, at some point, history starts to repeat itself.
And, the Bogarts thing is pretty far down the line. I mean, for Pete's sake, you're now in the second half of his last year of eligibility. I mean, it's really not of a leap to say they're not going to sign them. Mostly when you get to this point, the guy's gone. On every team in any sport, like you get to that point, they're usually out.
Yeah, it's just, again, that there's been too much history here now with these guys, and I mean of this, you know, crop of Red Sox centerpieces. Again, Betts, Bogarts, Devers, you know, throwing Bradley in there if you want. He wasn't really as important, but same idea. Like, Bogarts signed a team-friendly deal. He had an opt-out, so he's going to opt out. Why? Because the deal's not worth it. Are they going to pay him? Doesn't feel like it. Until they do it, I don't think we can assume they're going to do it.
Here's Joe in Belfast. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Michael. This reminds me a lot of, like, the housing market. These are people that are, like, they're throwing bids at something. They're chasing the market. You can't replace the left half of the infield in Major League Baseball. You'll never replace these guys. And if you want to keep bidding on them and bidding on them and bidding on them, I'm going to jump on Brendan's backside when he just said a second ago, we can blame people for doing the wrong thing before they've done it because we know they're going to do it.
Okay, well, I mean, that's another way to look at it. Joe in Belfast sounds better in calling us on a cleaner connection than most of the folks on their cell phones down the street. But if, as fans, like, here's what Tampa would do. Tampa would say, yeah, we didn't want to pay Longoria, and yeah, we didn't want to pay Carl Crawford, or yeah, we didn't want to pay, who's the pitcher that went to San Diego?
Oh, Snell.
Snell, right? You know, so yeah, we didn't quote-unquote replace those guys, but we're in the playoffs every year and contending for championships every year. So, I mean, what do you want? Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure the Red Sox would say the same thing. We're not going to quote-unquote replace Devers in that offensive production, but our approach, if you add it all up, puts us in the ALCS. What's the difference to you, fan? You know, and that's how they look at it. They don't look at the individual guy replacing an individual player. They look at the cumulative result. And the algorithms, do produce results, and that's I'm just giving you their side of it.
Yeah, look, and at the end of the day, if they win championships, I don't care. I don't care. I just question whether or not this method can win championships. And I think we have evidence to support that. So, again, Oakland hasn't won a championship. Tampa Bay has not won a championship. The Minnesota Twins, you have to go back, you know, 30 years. They haven't won a championship. So all these teams run into the same problem. It only goes so far. It's that Billy Bean line. My crap doesn't work in the playoffs. Because talent wins in the playoffs.
Steve in Portland. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I want to ask you guys, do you think by getting swept by Tampa, that kind of justifies the management saying, see, we can win this way, win that a fraction of the cost?
You mean
just they looked at it as a positive?
Or justifies Tampa saying that?
Yeah, getting swept by Tampa. Like, see, we can win this way. They just swept us. We can win that. You know,
okay, so I don't want to say the individual sweep, but I'm sure Chaim Bloom says we were really successful in Tampa doing it this way. Yes. Absolutely.
That's such twisted logic that they could look at getting swept by what the model should be as a positive.
We need to be more Tampa?
Yeah.
Because Tampa's out-tamping us? Like, I don't think it's quite works like that. But absolutely, I think Chaim Bloom looks proudly at his tenure in Tampa. And again, he wasn't even pushing the buttons. He was an underling. But I think a lot of teams in Major League Baseball are jealous of Tampa. John Henry's jealous of Tampa.
He is.
You can be just as good as us and spend a third of the money? Where do I get in on that?
That's hot.
Linda! I got to work on that.
I like the Red Sox better when they were trying to be the Yankees.
Right? It's a good point. Alex in Medway. Go ahead, Alex.
So, as Soto just did not want to sign with the Nationals, how would you think that the Red Sox could get Soto, and for like what cost?
What planet?
That's funny. No, that's funny. He just turned down $440 million from the Nationals, and they're going to trade for him? That's a good one. That's funny. What? And then when he gets here, what are they going to do? Trade him?
No. Offer him $14 million a year over 3 years?
That's rich.
If they're not going to,
that is a good one.
If they're going to pay their own guys. They're not paying that guy.
Wow. Oh, that is great. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Alan in Florida. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, you know, one thing you guys are forgetting to realize, I hope you got me your message, by the way. Josh Bell plays for Washington, not Pittsburgh. I left you a message. I don't know if you guys got it yesterday. But
I
anyway.
Missed it. My bad.
Okay. Well, you both had it. Anyway, Maz, I'm going to give you a scoop, just like I told you where the Red Sox was finished since January. The Yankees are going to get a potential Cy Young Award pitcher by the name of Luis Castillo. You can go to sleep on that he'll be with the Yankees in another week or two. So all these teams, Toronto is going to buy, Seattle is going to buy, and this sorry excuse of a pathetic team is probably going to do nothing. Let's be honest. I think I know Bogaerts is gone. That's why they got Story. Okay, it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. Devers, I think if they lose Devers, the ratings are going to go so bad. The attendance is going to go so bad. So I think they're going to go all out to get Devers. But still, one player isn't going to make, like Matt said, you don't go 2 years without a first baseman. Give me a break. They went from the best outfield potentially in baseball to one of the worst outfields in all of baseball. They have more holes than a Dunkin' Donuts donut.
Okay. I know just resigning Devers doesn't do it, but I think the damage of letting him go is
huge,
you know, multiplied.
Yeah, again, it's being broadside. It's a hole in the hull of the Titanic, for crying out loud. That's what it would be. So, look, at some point, people are just going to lose faith if they haven't lost it already. And I think they've lost it already.
Continue with your baseball thoughts after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, you just heard the update from Big Jim Murray. New extra inning format tonight in the All-Star game. Give it to me again, Murray.
All right. So, if the game is tied after nine innings, it'll be settled via a home run derby. Each manager selects three batters to participate. Each batter gets three swings, and the team with the highest total after three rounds wins.
Okay. It's like a shootout.
Too much, but this is what I've been talking about. Again, you're welcome.
You want one swing, not three.
I want one batter, three swings is what would be my idea. We can tinker with this. But I was talking about this all day yesterday. I've talked about this for years, that the extra innings in baseball, my format, again, when I'm commissioner of sports, which means I have jurisdiction over all four major leagues, so all of the authority to implement this. But in baseball, I'll give you one inning, one frame, where we can put some runners on base and try and get, you know, more of an actual baseball outcome like they do in hockey. They play 3-on-3, which is a gimmick, but it's, you know, so you get 5 minutes for 5 minutes of 3-on-3, and then they go right to the shootout. Okay? Three shots, boom, let's get out of here. If it's the Bruins, it usually goes 9 rounds because no one can score. Okay, so the baseball equivalent for me is, and I said this yesterday, 10th inning, runners on second and third. Maybe I give you one out. I'm still tinkering with that. It's either zero or no out, or one out. The one out, I think, would make it quicker but harder to score. You know, I got to give that to the nerds, and they're going to put that in the computer and tell me what gets me a quicker result. So, it's second and third is definitely my second and third, one or no outs. Play that in the 10th inning. If it's still tied, roll out the nets. Now, I don't like three different batters, Murray, and three pitches for three batters. That feels now this is going to take a little long. Like, what are we doing here? My one batter and three pitches. And however many home runs you hit is however many you hit. Then the next guy comes up, three pitches, however many you hit, however many, if you're still tied, we'll do something.
Got to go to the next guy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you go to the next guy, but maybe you go to the next guy. I don't know. Hopefully it's over by then. You know, first home run wins, basically. Most home runs in those three wins. If you got to juice the ball a little bit, no problem. You can give me a different ball for the home run derby to ensure that we get balls going out of the park. No problem whatsoever. Now, the key to my proposal is that we're not spending 20 minutes rolling the net out, getting the mound right, getting the balls right, finding a guy to throw. No, 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 no. As soon as you hit the 10th inning and the runners are on second and third, that net is waiting by the side of the field. You've already designated who your pitcher is going to be, your bullpen guy, whatever. It doesn't matter. And those guys are waiting on the field. And right when it's over, boom, roll out the net. And that's my proposal.
Yeah, I like it. And this thing tonight, too.
I'm warming to it.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what the flaw already is.
Well, there's a million flaws, but go ahead.
The bullpen guy's going to need time to get loose.
No, okay, so yeah, tough.
Get him loose. Put him in the bullpen. Tough. In the 10th inning, he's warming in the bullpen.
Or the bullpen coach.
Exactly
whoever,
right. Yeah. No, who's ever thrown the BP, who's ever throwing from behind the net, is already warming up in the bullpens, and he's ready to roll as soon as that game's over. Go ahead.
Yeah, there can't be any warm-ups. That's the part that it's like, or you can't be waiting for the perfect pitch. You got to swing. That ball comes out, you're swinging. That's it. And this thing, when it popped up yesterday, it incentivized me to watch. I hope to God that it's tied to the ninth so we get to see this. And, of course, I'm sure half the internet will say, fake, they rigged it. I don't care. I want to see this.
Now, I hope they do rig it.
Well, right. Great.
I want to see it. Meaning tonight.
Well, yeah, so what? So it goes to this thing?
Yeah.
That if they're tied going into the ninth, no one really tries. Like, they want to have this happen.
Okay. They should want to have it happen. It'd be a neat little way to end the ball game. And as I always say, no one's going to turn that thing off. No one's going to walk out of the stadium to beat the traffic there. And I'll just, again, go to the hockey shootout, which I'm a big proponent of. And a lot of people aren't. A lot of people say, it's a gimmick. It's not real hockey. It's a skills competition. All may be true. I've never seen anyone walk out of the room when the shootout is going on in a hockey game. I've never seen anyone leave the stadium. They might leave the stadium in the third period. I've never seen anyone leave the stadium in the middle of that 3-on-3 thing, which is usually balls, or the shootout. And I've never seen anyone turn the TV off or walk out of the room. You all stop and watch the shootout. It's quick, and it's interesting, and it decides the game, and it's good. And the home run derby would be the same thing. It'd be, you know, I don't know if it'd be exactly the same, but it would be akin to the same thing. And they should absolutely try it. That being said, I couldn't be bothered to watch one half of 1 second last night. I don't watch exhibitions.
I didn't see any of it.
Yeah, same.
Zero. 0.0. I just have no interest in, like, if they had a, like, the NHL skills competition. I don't know if they do shootouts or breakaways. I don't even know. I wouldn't watch it. I'm not watching that. If it decides a game, I'll watch it, of course. So that's my thought on that.
No, I didn't watch any of it. I was on Netflix last night. If you care.
I don't.
No, but I'll half pay attention tonight. And then the buzz, like, that all these leagues are looking for, if they're tied in the ninth, they're going to get it because the internet's going to lose its mind. Like, holy crap, this has happened. Tune in now. And people
what's
will.
What's wrong with the internet? So what's the internet's point?
A lot of people think that something's going to be rigged. Like, they're going to rig this so to make sure that it happens. And to Maz's point, who cares? Good.
I hope they rig do. It. It's an exhibition game. Rig yeah, right. that a lot of it as far as I'm concerned.
So I meant to look this up. What were the ratings last night?
How does that make it different than the NBA?
hold on, I did get the local ratings. Let me give it the local rate. The local ratings last night were greater than a Red Sox game.
Not surprised.
You know, by a pretty healthy margin. And I'm again I'm talking more about the demo than the overall number. So last night did a 2.9 and a 2-something. In men 25-54, the average Red Sox game this year is actually really crappy. This is another side story.
Yep.
I did not realize. Red Sox games this year are averaging 2.8, and the men 25-54 number is like 1.3. That's brutal.
Yeah, really bad.
That's down big. You know, last year they averaged over a 4.
Yeah, 4.25, and that men 25-54 was 2.16.
Yeah, so they're down by 50% in the demo. Just about. They're a full point lower in the demo, and they're almost 2 points lower overall. Their ratings are down from last year. Pretty good.
Yes, I was trying to tell you this, that the bump that they got at the end from the Yankees, they disappeared fast, gone.
Okay, so meanwhile, the ratings last night. So this thing, do you see the national ratings, Jim?
I haven't, no. I just saw those ones you were just mentioning.
Okay, so, you know, we'll see. It's been trending that the home run derby is catching up to the actual game. And the last year, they almost got it. So if I had to guess, this year's home run derby is going to outrate the actual game. It's what the fans want. Fans like it. Can baseball just for once give the fans what they want?
I've said this a million times. They haven't done anything for the fans in that sport in a long, long time. I feel like coming out of this work stoppage, at least they started to give some stuff back in small pieces regarding like the pitch clock and things like that to speed up the product and make the product better. But even so, that's not actually implemented yet. So we're heading towards it, but they haven't done anything for the fans in baseball in a long time.
Okay, I just wanted to get to that. We'll get back to your phones on the Sox and the contract situation, all of that, in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.com. The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Maz.
You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It depends on where they're going to go from here. You know what I mean? I think if it's this take it or leave it, this is it, this is your chance to get this extension done before the season starts, then I think it's disappointing. And if you're Devers, you're disappointed because, let's face it, he is one of the top players in the game right now when it comes to, you know, what you want to make. And it's his time to make money after next season. So he's still got a ways to go with him. But I think he's a little bit different than Bogaerts in that Devers is one of the top players in the game.
Yes.
So for me, I'm going for as much money as I can get. And I think he deserves to be paid. You know, if you mention a guy like Rendon and company, you know, that, you know, $34, $35, $36 million a year. And the Red Sox are either going to establish that he's a franchise player or he's not, and that's what we're going to find out over the next, you know, whenever they negotiate again as they go through the process.
That was Rochi on with TNR in spring training, I believe, before the year even began. Then when the reports came out that the Red Sox and Rafi Devers were over $100 million apart on their contract offers, and you can see why now. Yeah, the Red Sox come in at 168 over 8 years, when Rafi Devers is, by all accounts, a $300 million ball player or a $35 million a year guy on a shorter-term deal. He's one of those two things. Like Rendon, he just mentioned Anthony Rendon. Third base, is Anaheim?
Yeah, Angels, yeah.
His total value is 245, 7 years, 245, but that's 35 per year.
Correct.
Okay. Then there, you know, there's sort of like the other side of the spectrum, if you will, where Bryce Harper, I know different position, but, you know, work with me. He signed for a $330 million total value, but over 13 years, so that's $25 million AAV.
Correct.
So, as you mentioned in the first segment, it's got to be one or the other.
That's right.
He's got to be, you know, over 300 total or over 30 at least on an AAV. Instead, the Red Sox came in at 21 per year over one and 168 over the life of it. Laughable.
Yeah, way low, way low. And so, look, now I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
And they used Matt Olson as the comp. Go ahead.
Who's a first baseman. But Jose Ramirez with the Indians signed this year. And I'm just looking at the list of third basemen on Spotrac.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
7 years, 141, $20 million per year.
Okay. And, you know, Jose Ramirez and Devers are very comparable players, at least statistically. Now, Ramirez is 3 years older. So I would argue if I'm Devers, or even close to 4 years older, I would argue if I'm Devers, okay, then you got to make that up to me in years, which means now you're looking at, call it what, 10 years, $250 million, because the price goes up, not down. So somewhere in that area. But no matter how you slice it up, they're low. They're low.
I mean, insultingly low.
Yes, 8 times 21. I mean, that's low. That's way too low. So you got to be up in the, you know, up in the 30 million. You got to be around 8 and 250, somewhere in that range.
Okay, back to your contract, back to your calls on the contracts, Dan and Waltham. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, it's insultingly low. They'd be better off just not making any offer until they're at least going to be closer. But I just feel resigned to their impending loss of Bogaerts and Devers, and it's really frustrating because I feel like the modern management really seems to overvalue prospects and hitting lottery tickets. And I just think, like, you want a lottery ticket to end up as a Devers. That is a lottery ticket, what exactly he's ended up as, or Bogart. So what's the point of hitting those if, when you have one, you're not going to keep them? I don't want to root for laundry. I want to root for players that are actually making an impact on the team long term.
I mean, like,
Derek Jeter is probably the most valuable player in the modern era for ownership because of what he brought to in terms of revenue and, like, fan interest.
Okay, Dan, thanks for the call. The continual and perpetual overvaluing of prospects. It's just, Lou was on TV with us last night. I think he made a good point. I haven't really considered this. Dave Dombrowski got skewered for gutting the Red Sox system, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Made all those trades, whether it was Pomerantz or Sale, just name it. Gutted the Red Sox farm system. You know, none of those players that he traded away have amounted to anything.
Correct.
Moncada, Kopech, and the pitcher that he traded for Pomerantz.
Anderson Espinoza.
Yeah, Anderson Espinoza, right.
None of those guys have done anything.
Correct.
He was right. In hindsight, he was right. If he had held on to those prospects, you wouldn't have won dong. You wouldn't have won anything. He had to trade those guys, couldn't play. And not that he could know or, you know, knew that, but I think Dombrowski looks at it and says, those guys are really there to be dealt to teams that need to build that way. And what they're there for is to trade for known commodities that you can win with now. And if you just rely on those guys to come up, your odds are you ain't going to win.
No, but I would tell you that he took a calculated risk because he understood what is a prospect ceiling. So he could look at some guy and say, is this guy going to turn out, or is he going to have problems physically because of this, that, or the other thing? And you're just taking guesses. You're taking educated guesses. But he's been right. My big complaint with Dombrowski is that I don't think, for the most part, they drafted very well or hit the international marketplace very well. Now, that said, Cassis was his pick.
Okay, and someone who just came up, that's... Brian Baio was his signing.
Correct.
Right, yes. So developed under Bloom, but signed under Dombrowski. Now, look, not every team needs to trade all their prospects. The Cubs drafted and developed for years, and those guys all turned into studs, and they won. And Tampa is perennially good bringing those guys up. So not, you know, it just turned out that your guys that Dombrowski traded should have been dealt. He was right.
Yeah, he was.
In hindsight, he was right.
I just think there's a happy medium, okay? That's all. I think there is a way to do what Dave Dombrowski did on the free agent market and also do what Chaim Bloom wants to do with the organization without completely abandoning the other side.
The what they were doing with Theo.
Yes.
They had high-priced veteran guys and spent money and drafted and developed. It's not mutually exclusive.
I mean, to me, that is, I don't think that's asking too much. It's hard, but it's not asking too much.
Dan in Hingham. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes. Hi, guys. For taking my call. I just wanted to bring up a wrench into your argument, Felger, about the All-Star game. So in the home run derby, and I'll hang up and listen to your response, what happens if one side runs out of pitchers? Do they forfeit in that case? Or
No, you're not using pitchers in a home run derby, dude. You're bringing out the 72-year-old bullpen, the old cooter there in the bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen coach.
Or whoever. You bring out your dad. Whoever you want. It doesn't matter who the pitcher is. And, oh, okay, so fine. I would make a rule that the pitcher can be anyone. You can pull out Harold Fenefesi from the crowd.
You have a BP pitcher.
You could have a specific home run derby guy that you just pluck. Again, literally, if you're used to your dad pitching, you know, bring him out. Whatever. There will be no limitations on that. Whoever wants to actually throw from behind that net from 45 feet, wherever they line up there, fine. And, oh, by the way, they can line up wherever they want. Just about. I mean, I don't know. And I mean, now that I think that, you just can't make that T-ball. But either way, I'm going to be very loose on that part of it. The whole point is to get the ball out of the park and to end the game.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a player who's pitching.
No, it's not. We're not gonna...
I don't care what you do. Just hurry up.
I mean, the point is not who throws the ball.
I'd put Whitlock out there.
You're gonna designate someone to throw that BP pitch, and it's gonna go out of the yard, and we're all gonna go home. That's what's gonna happen under my plan. Here's Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. We're right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.